This is Dr. XH Balthazar. I am broadcasting once again to present my findings from the world of the uncanny. Recently, I received a letter written on government stationery. It is not often that the world of bureaucracy and politics intersects with my line of work. It was intriguing, to say the least. Allow me to read a section of the letter. To whom it may concern, I am contacting you as I have nowhere left to turn. I have reported what I have seen to my superiors and have been met with ridicule and the termination of my position. This matters very little to me now, but I must prevent those who would make the same mistakes I have. Warn your listeners to stay away from the Bear Creek National Park. The land is cursed by God. You must tell them to stay away. The letter ends with a signature, and fortunately, a telephone number attached. Thus, I contacted the writer. After a brief correspondence, I invited him to join me and tell his story. We met in a small diner off the highway in Virginia, just outside of Richmond. The following is my interview with Louis Benoit, dated January the 8th, 1958. Do you mind stating your name once again for the recording?
Louis Henry Benoit. You can call me Lou. People call me Lou.
Thank you for joining me, Lou. In your letter, there seemed to be a great deal of urgency surrounding Bear Creek National Park. Why did you reach out to me concerning this matter?
I have to warn people. I've been putting up flyers, but they keep getting taken down. The rangers won't let me within 50 feet of a park. I tried just talking to people around the town, but everyone thinks I've lost it.
Have you?
I thought I had for a long while, but I know what I saw.
Why did you reach out to me concerning this issue?
I sent letters to as many radio stations as I could, from you to as far as California. You're the only person who responded.
You mentioned in your letter that you were terminated from your position. Did you work for the state of North Carolina?
For the Parks and Forestry Service. I was a groundkeeper.
That explains the government stationery.
I thought it might make the letters look official. I'm desperate. Something must be done.
Mr. Benoit, do you mind relaying the events to me as you remember them? Rest assured that an accurate ledger of this interview will be broadcast.
Of course. I'm not sure where to start.
Your position at the Forestry Service. What did it entail?
I was a groundkeeper, as I said. Mostly landscaping and clearing dead brush. I was transferred to the Park Service to survey a new piece of forest they were planning on developing.
Could you mark this area on a map?
Oh, of course. I walked it every day for months.
Why were you selected for this job? You were not a surveyor.
They wanted me to do two jobs at once. Survey the land and plant some grass, remove the underbrush. At the time, I thought I was getting promoted. I did my duties as normal for several weeks, until I found a clearing in the trees. A beautiful area just off one of the trails. It was a patch of dirt, but I saw the potential. So I figured I'd seed it with some grass and get a nice pasture going. I went back through that same area one morning, maybe a month later, and it was still just dirt. Nothing had even begun to sprout.
How long does it normally take?
To sprout? 10 days at most.
So this was unusual.
Very. But that wasn't all. When I looked over the area again, I found embers kindled in a ring around the clearing.
From a fire?
Yes! I thought that someone may have been camping out in the clearing. Maybe a big bonfire or something. Would have been a good spot to do it. Regardless, I reseeded the area then and there, then headed out into town to pick up some chicken wire. Was going to put up a fence to make sure the seeds didn't get trampled again.
Lou?
Yes?
You stopped talking for a moment.
Oh, thinking about it makes my skin crawl.
About what exactly?
When I returned that evening, there was a group of people, maybe 5 or 6 of them, just standing in the clearing.
What did they look like?
It was dark, and they were wearing hoods. I couldn't make out any of them, but they were rowdy. They were laughing and hollering. I remember thinking they were poachers.
Why did you think that?
Well, between them was a slaughtered doe. I thought they must have been hunting without a license, doing it at night and all.
Did you approach them?
I took the shotgun out of my truck. As soon as they heard me coming, they took off into the woods, still cackling like crazies.
I assume you followed them.
I did for a while. I know those woods better than anybody, and they still managed to give me the slip. I returned that night and put up a chicken wire fence. Then I figured I'd come back in the morning, see the thing again, and it would be done. However, I did notice when I returned, the doe was gone.
I thought it was dead. Was it not dead?
From what I saw, they already started dressing it when I arrived. I thought they must have doubled back for it, but I'm not sure. There wasn't a drop of blood left.
Did you inform the authorities about the poachers? About all of this? The missing doe?
I put in a report that morning, but I couldn't tell you if they actually sent someone out to investigate.
Why would they not?
In government, getting a cup of coffee takes all morning, if you get my meaning.
So what of the poachers? Did they return?
I went back to the clearing a couple days later, and the fence was gone. I found it maybe 30 feet away in some bushes, completely mangled up. In the clearing, I found an empty liquor bottle, so I figured it must have been those poachers getting drunk in the woods again.
Did you report this incident as well?
This time, I took it into my own hands. The only way to sort this out was to catch them in the act, so I figured I would camp out in the clearing and walk them to the sheriff's station myself.
A bold plan.
I was at my wit's end. I set up my tent right in the center of the clearing. No matter where they came from, I would hear them coming. I tucked the shotgun under my pillow, and that was my lodging for the evening. I laid up for as long as I could that night. Nothing. I remember the last time I looked at my watch, it was well past 1 in the morning. I know that I fell asleep sometime after that. I remember the smell of smoke. The smell of smoke woke me up. I remember feeling fear.
Why were you afraid, Lou?
I heard that laughter again. Louder. So much louder than before. And more than that, screaming and moaning. It swirled all around. Through the canvas, I saw the shadows of dozens of people. Men, women, animals. I gripped my shotgun tight. The screaming turned to wild cries in the night. I felt liquid. I looked down and the soil was bleeding beneath me. I watched one by one as the dancing shadows were ripped apart, dismembered, and mutilated. Each time one fell, the earth bled more. When they were all gone, the fires extinguished and darkness fell over me. My attention turned to the tent's opening. fear overwhelmed me. Through the seam, I could see a figure moving in the darkness. Only the form moving back and forth between the seam, as if it was trying to get a look at me. I aimed my gun forward.
Did you fire?
No, sir. I sat there. The barrel pointed right at that thing, up until the sun rose. By then it was gone.
What then?
When I mustered the courage to exit the tent, I wasn't in the clearing anymore. I was somewhere else entirely, in a grassy field far away.
How far away?
Maybe a mile. I hiked back to the trail, and I couldn't find the clearing.
You mentioned that you tried to share your experience with others.
When I filed a report with the park ranger's office, they sent a patrol to sweep the area. When it came back with nothing, they threw me out for wasting their time. When I explained myself to my superiors, they terminated my position completely. I have nothing to gain by making all this up. I've lost almost everything. I saw what I saw that night. And I hope my story will serve as a sufficient warning.
It has been several days since my conversation with Louis Benoit, and his story has inspired a plethora of research on the topic of cursed geography. Lou, if you are listening, hopefully what I have found may provide some peace of mind in corroborating your story. As I have discovered, there are several mentions of what is called the infertile earth throughout early American pagan writing. They are commonly referred to as the devil's tramping grounds, as it was believed that these patches of infertile earth were cursed by the devil itself. These locations are said to be areas where the devil manifests himself on earth. Communing with his followers and participating in bizarre garish rituals. In early pagan culture, these were locations to be avoided at all costs, as worshippers are known to sacrifice animals and even humans to the devil himself. While these descriptions are dated, they do offer some context to Lou's experience. My thoughts on the matter is that this clearing that Lou discovered may have been a site for religious fanatics. This seems to match the description of events Lou experienced. While there is very little in the way of hard evidence, I lean to the side of caution and encourage my listeners to stay away from Bear Creek National Park, at least until further investigation is conducted. As always, thank you for tuning in. And until next time, goodbye and good night.